Hello, this is Pastor Rock Dilliman with this week's installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This week's readings come from Luke's account of the life of Christ, chapters 11 through 18. And in that reading, there are three specific references to the Holy Spirit, and we'll have time to look at each of them, and each of them have something to say to us. The first is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, that's a wonderful promise from Jesus, but it's one that has proven at times to be confusing, because people read that and say, well, do I have to ask for the Holy Spirit? When I was born again, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit? And the answer to both questions is yes. Let me explain. First of all, you have to remember the context in which Jesus spoke these words. He was talking to his disciples before the cross, before the resurrection, before the ascension. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given to them. That would occur on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, "I have to depart, and then the Holy Spirit will take my place." Well, Jesus hadn't yet departed. So while the Holy Spirit was at work in the disciples, they had not yet received the Holy Spirit as a permanent abiding presence in their life. That happened on the day of Pentecost, just as promised. From that point forward, believers do not need to wait for the Holy Spirit or ask to receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit the moment we're born again. The epistles of the New Testament tell us if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. So the disciples were receiving a promise that one day the Spirit would be given to them. You and I don't need that same promise. But I said the answer to both questions is yes, because there is a sense in which we do need to ask for the Holy Spirit. We don't need to ask for the Holy Spirit as an indwelling, saving presence, but we do need to seek the Holy Spirit for guidance, for empowerment, for discernment. And we need to do that on a continual basis. So, for example, before I teach the Word of God each weekend, you hear me pray for a fresh infilling from the Holy Spirit that will equip me for that moment and for that opportunity. That's an asking for the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking the Holy Spirit to come into my life, but I am asking the Holy Spirit to give me specific empowerment and direction for the task before me. So, we don't need to ask for the Holy Spirit as an abiding presence, but we do need to ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and discernment and empowerment on a regular basis. And the thing we should take with us from Luke 11, 13 is that when we ask, God delights in granting that request. Now, the second mention of the Holy Spirit in our readings this week, far more controversial, though it doesn't need to be. It's Luke 12, verse 10. Jesus said, "Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him." That's the verse that describes what is commonly known as the unforgivable sin. And in 40 plus years of pastoring, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked, what is the unforgivable sin? And I always tell people, if you're worried that you've committed it, you haven't. Because the unforgivable sin is not something that you could do And then subsequently, no matter how much you wanted to follow Jesus, God would say, nope, you've committed the unforgivable sin. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, what is the Holy Spirit's role? We've already seen in these commentaries that the role of the Holy Spirit is to draw men and women to Jesus Christ, to give them the awareness of who Christ is, to give them faith to believe in Christ, to regenerate them so that they can be indwelt by Christ. The Holy Spirit's task is to draw men to Christ. We've already seen in these studies that one of the ways the Spirit does that is through the Scriptures. All Scripture is Spirit-breathed. What is the purpose of the Scriptures? To draw us to Christ and to equip us to live in Christ and to explain what it means to live in Christ. So, if the Holy Spirit's task is to draw us to Christ, if the Holy Spirit bears witness to Christ, if the Holy Spirit speaks of Christ, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to reject Jesus, to reject Christ. Because when you reject Christ, when you refuse to believe in Him as Messiah and to acknowledge Him as your Lord, what are you doing? You're essentially suggesting that the Spirit's witness is bogus, that everything the Spirit has testified about Jesus in Scripture and directly to the human heart is a lie. When you reject Jesus, you essentially accuse the Holy Spirit of lying. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit because God is not a man that he should lie. So, the only sin that God cannot forgive is the sin of rejecting Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to receive forgiveness. There is no forgiveness of sins apart from Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you reject forgiveness, and if you reject forgiveness, you can't receive it. So somebody put it this way, and in so doing, they encapsulated this verse perfectly. The only sin God cannot forgive is the sin of refusing His forgiveness. And when you refuse the testimony of the Spirit to Jesus, that's what you do. So if you're a believer, or if you're an unbeliever, and you're worried, have I committed the unpardonable sin? You haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't have that concern. Then our final verse is just two verses later, Luke 12:12. Jesus said to his disciples that you're going to be dragged before rulers and authorities to defend yourselves and to defend the gospel. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Jesus' disciples were not men who had been trained in religious debate. They were former tax collectors and fishermen. They came from all walks of life. But they were not formally trained in human debate or in defending the gospel. So they had to have some anxiety, wouldn't you, about Jesus saying, you're going to have to stand before authorities and explain why you believe and defend what you believe. Not only would that be intimidating because they weren't trained in debate, it would be intimidating because one of the most common fears known to humanity is public speaking. That's a greater fear than dying in a house fire or being eaten by a shark, public speaking. So Jesus said, guys, they're going to haul you into court and you're going to have to stand up and speak. But he said, don't worry, because the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. He'll tell you what to say and he'll show you what to say in that moment. And so I want to leave you with this thought. We live in a culture where we're constantly finding ourselves in need of defending the gospel and explaining what we believe and why we believe it. In those moments, count on the Holy Spirit to be with you, to give you the words you need to say, to open your understanding and to give you insight. And a second takeaway, this is a reminder that the Holy Spirit leads us and equips us in two ways. He leads us and equips us in the day-to-day discipleship, but He also leads us and equips us in the demands of a specific moment. In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work in your life when you're doing the dishes, when you're doing your job, when you're tucking your kids into bed at night, when you're mowing the lawn, but the Holy Spirit is also with you in those particular moments when somebody's destiny is on the line, when you've got a chance to contribute to the building of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is with us in the general, and the Holy Spirit is with us in the specific. He's with us in all of life. And so when you suddenly find yourself thrust from the general into the specific and think, I'm not ready for this, simply ask God to give you a fresh infilling of the Spirit, because how did we begin? The Spirit is given to those who ask, and He'll give you the words you need to speak and teach you in that very moment what you ought to say. He's with us from the beginning of the ride till when we step off in eternity. God bless you. Have a great week following the Spirit in your life.